I'm Jenna.
And I'm Jill.
And we're sisters who talk about gut health on the internet.
No, literally, we talk shit.
Because we believe that gut health is the baseline of achieving long-lasting optimal health.
AKA making sure it's you that controls your life and not your gut.
But let's be real, health isn't always presented in the most digestible way.
So whether you're trying to get your shit together,
literally,
or just want to learn more about how to take small steps toward a healthier lifestyle, you've come to the right place.
Welcome to our Gut Talk. Welcome back, Gut Talk fam. This is Jenna. And before we get into the episode, I just wanted to say that if you find this episode interesting, informative, helpful, to share it with somebody who you think can benefit from it. So maybe your sister, cousin, bestie, mom, whoever it is, this episode is entirely for the girls. We are talking about the V, the thing down there. We say the word in the episode just to give you a fair warning. If that's something that I don't know, makes you uncomfortable or not, I just want to give, you know, a warning ahead of time. And also, we talk about yeast infections, BV, birth control pill, the Washington Post article that came out, and our opinions on it. So this is an episode that we think needs to be talked about, and that hoping to start the conversation around this and just give our opinions and then also resources. We quote a lot of doctors that we love, as well as tell you things that you can go look more into, conversations that you could be having with your gynecologist and things like that. So just wanted to share that with you guys. And without further ado, let's jump right into it. Enjoy this episode. All right, we're recording. Hello, Miss Jilly.
Hello, Jenna.
Okay, well, first of all, this is just going to be a podcast episode with Jill and me. Mm-hmm. Yes, the guests we've had so far have been amazing. You guys have been loving them. And the guests that we have coming are just as good. We're just very, very excited, as we've been saying, to continue to get these amazing guests on and really have these guests break down these topics that all of us are so curious about, want to learn more to improve our health, etc. Mm-hmm. But today, you just have a Jill and me episode because we have a couple things on our mind. Jill,
we have a lot to say. We have a lot to say.
What is on our mind?
I mean, the vagina.
The vagina is on our mind.
For a couple of reasons. And so ideally, we will bring on an expert to dive even deeper into the topics we talk about today. But there's a lot to cover. And there's a lot of, we need, every once in a while, you need some relatability. You need to feel seen. And I found myself in that position recently as I ran into some vaginal situations.
Some vaginal health issues.
And maybe this is the time to state, if you don't have a vagina, this episode might not be for you.
Keep scrolling.
But if you do, there's a lot to be said. And so, one, I have really gone through it recently. But two is, kind of simultaneously, the Washington Post released an expose or something talking about birth control. And the way they went about it is, quite frankly, maybe the worst takes I've ever seen. And we'll dive into that because I've got a lot of thoughts. And then lastly, because of my situations recently, which don't you worry, I'll be spilling the tea on in case, you know, you were looking for your dose of TMI. I went to the gynecologist and I just had a very subpar experience. And so, not to once again make this episode all about me, which I feel like happens from time to time, but I found myself, you know, searching the internet, Googling, searching TikTok. Instagram's search algorithm is just not as good, but searching Instagram, all those things. And so I want to share what I found. So to take it from the toast, without further ado, should we just jump in?
Zoo. Yeah. By the way, Jill and I are testing out this new way of talking to each other. We're both in our apartments, so we're only a floor away, but we're talking over a site called Riverside FM, which is like Zoom. So if it kind of feels like we're not right next to each other, it's because we're not. We're looking at each other through a computer screen. So,
which so far I really like. I really like this too.
I'm a little worried that you sound a little too far away because you're wearing AirPods, but we'll be okay.
Well, fingers crossed. So I, about not last week, the week before, started to feel what I call yeasty. I got yeast infections a lot in college. Being a collegiate athlete, a lot of times you weightlift and you go straight to class. It's disgusting, but it's the truth. And a lot of times you're wearing spandex. So that really, yeast, you don't know if you've never had one, it can be bred in this damp environment, hence like being sweaty and then not showering right after. So I started to feel yeasty and I immediately went on wisp.com, W-I-S-P. It's this website that allows you to get medication without having to go to the doctor. And I'm like, okay, I've had yeast infections ton before. Like, let me just order this. So I order fluconazole or something like that. And it's like two pills. You take them once every 2 days, twice. And it seemed to do the trick. But then a few days later, it kind of came back with a vengeance. And if you've had a yeast infection, you know it's super, super uncomfortable. I had been not wanting to go to the gynecologist because I just never had a good experience at a gyno. I've been to multiple gynos. I feel pressured, uncomfortable. I feel like with as much as we know in the health world, some of the things they say to me just aren't accurate, which we'll dive into that too. And so I didn't want to go, but I'm like, you know what? I need to get tested to make sure that this is what it is. And so off I go to the gynecologist. Everything tracking so far, Denny?
It's tracking. We're good.
It's kind of hard because you've already heard this story maybe 17 times, and I think you're sick and tired of hearing about it, but here we are. So I go to the gynecologist yesterday, and I wasn't anxious, but I wasn't feeling good about it. So I get in there, and I also did my pap smear because, you know, you need to do that once a year. And so they test me for yeast, and she's like, you know what? Since you already took the yeast medication and it didn't work, which by the way, like my symptoms, TMI warning, was like my discharge was like white and chunky, which I cannot believe I'm saying this on the internet, but we need to know. You need to know. And one big difference between a yeast infection and BV is BV smells and it has like a yellow discharge to it. And that was not me. So I'm like, I have a yeast infection. But what she told me is sometimes BV can present as a yeast infection. And if I took the yeast medication, because I had also tried Monistat and it didn't work, maybe it's BV. So I'm like, okay, cool. And this is on a Tuesday. She goes, well, we'll have the results to you by Friday. Absolute panic ensues because I'm sitting here and I'm like, I have to stay in this discomfort for 3 more days and not know. And I don't know if it's the first child in me or the type A or the Capricorn or whatever you want to call it. When something happens, I need to know. I do not want mystery in anything that I do in life. So of course I call you and I'm panicking. But what I said to her before I left was like, is there anything I can be doing in the meantime? Like any supplementation? She was like, no, just make sure you eat a lot of yogurt. And I'm like, yogurt, that's it? You're telling me there's nothing else I can do? And I've already been taking the Flora V, which is by Organic Olivia. It's a probiotic herbal blend that supports the vaginal microbiome, normal pH levels, and urinary tract health. I didn't have a UTI, but I've been taking this anyway just because I'm trying to really get normal down there. And she's like, no, nothing. But she's like, you know what? Because I was pressing her, she gave me the one-day BV medication, which is called Nuvessa. So I was doing some research, and the medication for BV, it starts with an M. I can't remember what it's called, but it's a 5-day dosage. You can't drink on it. And a lot of women have horrible side effects like hallucination, vomiting, nausea, all these things. And I'm like, oh my God, thank God I pressured her. And it was like literally in the last minute of our session, she was like, oh, you know what? Like, if we can just treat BV, even though we don't know if you have it yet. I'm like, please, like, I need this gone. So the good news is I'm pretty sure it was both yeast and BV because I'm feeling a lot better today and it takes 24 hours to kick in. But last night I was just going down all of these rabbit holes because when you go to the gynecologist or any doctor in general, the you know, gastroenterologist, because we talk about gut health so much, and doctors don't have that empathy for you and they don't make you feel heard or seen or like they're on your side and want to help, it makes the situation worse.
Yeah.
Like,
and it makes you feel very defeated and like that there's no options. But the truth is that there are options. But why aren't we being told those options from the people who we think are the biggest experts in the space? Which, right, don't get me wrong, they are, especially when it comes to science-backed driven data. But tell me then what your experience was and tell everyone listening, because I'm sure lots of people listening right now have dealt with vaginal issues or have dealt with yeast infections or UTIs. What more can we do about it?
So there's actually a lot you can do. And I ordered a ton of things. Of course, if you guys remember, if you're an OG listener, you'll know that when I went to the gynecologist 4 years ago, the gyno was our OBGYN who actually birthed both of us and had been mom and Aunt Paula and like all these people that we know has gyno, and he had rave like great reviews. And when I went to him like 4 years ago, he basically told me that for my period pain, there was nothing we could do except for go on birth control. And he wasn't willing to do any type of hormonal testing, blood testing, anything like that. And I felt so defeated. And I called you crying. And then you showed me Jolene Brighton's book and all these things, and it ended up working out. So I called you again and I was freaking out. And you said to go to People's RX, which is like a supplement store in Austin, Texas. And they're very knowledgeable there. And then I called my mom and I'm like, hey, mom, I've heard of boric acid suppositories. She just retired. Congratulations, Juji. And so can you please go and do some research? And like, don't Google it. Like, I need you to get in the trenches of boric acid. So we start doing all these things. And there's a lot of women out there that are saying that boric acid suppository. So if you don't know what a suppository is, you literally stick it up your hoo-ha. Actually, what was I saying to mom yesterday? I'll have to text her. She was saying something is like the hoo-ha warrior or the hoo-ha something. She was like, thank you so much. But anyway, boric acid suppositories, it can really help with yeast, BV, UTIs, and it helps you just stay more normal. A lot of women get yeast infections or BV after their period because your pH changes when you get your period. And so actually a lot of gynecologists recommend that even if you're not getting the symptoms right after your period to use one or two nights in a row just to help kind of stabilize down there. Now, if you consume boric acid orally, it can be very toxic. This is something up your hoo-ha. Let's not get it twisted. By the way, none of this is medical advice. I'm just sharing my rabbit holes because I just feel like they're important. So then I go to People's RX and I explain the situation, and she tells me that I should be taking Saccharomyces boulardii, which Jenny already knew about, if you can see here, I guess you can't see here because this isn't being posted on YouTube, but this one's called Saccharomyces DF, and it has the bacteria, the good bacteria that immediately goes after candida. Because what we know about yeast infections is a lot of times they're caused by an overgrowth of candida in the gut. Mm-hmm. Am I saying everything right here?
Yeah, let me speak on that real quick. So I sat in on a Just Thrive webinar because we've worked with Just Thrive. That's mainly the probiotic company. Mm-hmm. And Jill's not the only person who deals with yeast infections. We've had countless friends. I've had one before. Just one, luckily, because it truly is such an awful experience. It's very uncomfortable. And one couple things to note is that the gut microbiome dictates what happens in other areas. Your vaginal microbiome is affected by what's going on in your gut microbiome. So there's only one bacteria. 90% of the vaginal colonies are predominated by one bacteria that makes up 90%. Okay. So that means that there shouldn't be a lot of bacteria going on in the vaginal microbiome. But what happens is that if there is issues up in the gut, it can start affecting the vagina. So if you have something like candida overgrowth or dysbiosis, it's no shock, like Jill, who has been dealing with this candida overgrowth due to several factors, including stress and namely a couple other things that we've been talking about on social media, they're highly correlated to then causing an issue down south as we're streaming down the body and the digestive tract into the vaginal canal. So again, high diversity is bad when we're talking about the vagina, but we do want a diversity in the gut microbiome, if that gives any clarity. So if you are dealing with gut issues, it is no shock that you might also be dealing with other issues such as vaginal issues. And that's exactly what we're seeing here play out with Jill.
So part of the reason that she said to go with the Saccharomyces DF, which is that specific strain, the Saccharomyces boulardii, is because she was like, if you kill the candida, while taking these medications, then you're kind of like attacking it from all sides. Yeah. And this, that type of information is what I expect from my gynecologist, mm-hmm. right? I'm not saying don't take medication. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do the one day Nuvessa, right? Like, I'm doing that. But what I'm saying is why don't we attack the issue with medication and simultaneously support my microbiome, both vaginal and gut microbiome, at the same time to one, help me heal faster, and two, work on preventative measures so it doesn't happen again. Because one thing about BV and yeast infections is once you get one, it is so easy to get another because oftentimes it doesn't fully clear out immediately.
Right. And you're also taking antibiotics that could be messing with your gut microbiome if you are going the antibiotic route. And also, there's a root cause to pretty much everything. So if you're sitting here being like, I'm that person who constantly is dealing with things going on in my vaginal area, you have to look deeper, look at the root. Right. And most typically, it's what's going on in the gut, or potentially, you know, if you're with the wrong partner, there's energetic aspects to it as well that we don't want to get too much into, just because right now we're talking about what's going on in the gut microbiome, which is affecting the vaginal canal.
So Jenna sent me puro3.com, which is ozonated,
yeah,
all of castor oil suppositories. And at first when I saw these, I was like, what the heck does olive oil and castor oil have to do with it? But they have this whole thing online that kind of educates you on why fully ozonated oils help with different healings and things like that. And what we know is that I really, really need help with candida. And the reviews were phenomenal. People are saying, like, helpful to address candida. It's done an amazing job killing my candida. I've seen benefits so quickly. I've been on a healing journey for a while. Nothing's worked. This helps me so much. Da, 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 da. So I'm going to start using that after I complete my medication, just because the last thing I want to be doing is shoving way too much of my hoo-ha.
Yeah, we got to be gentle with the hoo-ha too. There is a thing about going overboard. Take it easy.
But I'm going to be using those, and we can link those in the show notes. I will circle back and give a review after I purchased 30 of them. So I'm going to take it for 30 days. And all of a sudden I was like, wait, why have I never looked into suppositories in a way to address some of these underlying gut health symptoms that I've been having? But now that we're here, I'm very excited. The last thing that when I went to People's Rx, the last thing that she gave me was, it's called Yeast Arrest, and it's a homeopathic formula for yeast infections. And the active ingredients are boric acid, cocoa butter, lactobacillus acidophilus.
Acidophilus? Lactobacillus acidophilus.
I feel like a Harry Potter wizard. And then neem oil, Oregon grapefruit, tea tree essential oil, which I saw a
Oregon,
lot.
Oregon grapefruit.
Oregon grapefruit. Tea tree essential oils. And then triglycerides from vegetable oil and vitamin E. So that's kind of a combination. And truthfully, I think I'm going to do that once the Nuvessa has done its course, just again as this preventative measure. Nothing in this formula is like toxic. The least it can do is do nothing. And the most it can do is just help with that additional support. Because what I really am nervous about is reigniting this perfect shit storm, if you will.
And simultaneously working on your stress levels, because truly there's such a component of stress, especially in the candida game, of that lack of breath, holding our breath, allowing candida to proliferate due to low stomach acid and other factors. So I think you're combining both lifestyle factors with these tools, if you will, that are going to be really beneficial. And again, we're here for root cause. We're here to attack things and make sure that they never come back, not allow this to continually go on. And when we have the knowledge, it gives us power. And that's why we're sharing it with you guys today on this episode, because we don't want to stay silent about something that happens to so many women, yet we're told to just like keep taking the antibiotic or keep taking this. And like, I'm sorry, but some people get yeast infections. Like, no, this is not a normal, it's normal because it happens a lot, but it's not normal in the sense that we should be, or you should be dealing with them constantly, because it's really uncomfortable.
Exactly. And the last thing that I'll say is I have been avoiding sugar like the plague. No treat after dinner, no sugar. The only sugar I'm consuming during the day is that chocolate milk in my coffee, because if I can't do that in the morning, life's not worth living. That's how I feel. So anyway, all of the things that we just shared were me doing research. Dr. Jolene Brighton, board certified naturopathic endocrinologist. Is that correct?
I don't know what her title is, to be honest.
Everything but the ologist part I know is correct, but I can't actually remember. I think that might be right, but she's actually double board certified. She has a ton of information. She has a great book. She has her TikTok, her Instagram, her website, and I binged that. So I'm not just doing research on whichever random TikTok girl. Like, there's some bad advice out there. There's also like, spray your hoo-ha with apple cider vinegar, and that can really throw off your pH. So there's bad advice out there, but I spent hours last night. I read PubMed articles. I read National Institute of Medicine articles. So everything that I'm sharing, I didn't just, you know, find from some witch doctor, although there's probably some good ones out there. This was all from doctors on the internet. And I really wish, if you guys haven't checked out Dr. Jolene Brighton yet, you should. Just be, even her attitude around everything sexual care, health care, vaginal care, it gives you that comfort that you should have when you go to the gynecologist.
Yeah. And lastly, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, I know I'm not alone in this feeling. I was actually talking to one of our good friends this morning because she's been struggling with yeast, BV. She actually got misdiagnosed with an STD. They told her she had herpes when she didn't. Like, I'm sorry.
It's so wrong. It's so wrong.
And also, like, she's in a serious relationship. So, like, that diagnosis can cause a lot of finger pointing and blaming in a relationship when she just literally didn't have it. She just had a really weird reaction to BV. But so I asked her, I was like, I'm sending her all the stuff that I found. And I was like, have you been back to the gyno? And she's like, no, I'm literally mortified. Mortified. So,
which is, you know, so sad to me.
Yeah, it is. And it goes back to that whole conversation of like traditional medicines on one side, homeopathic, naturopathic is on the other side. And merging the two together, I think, is when we get our best healthcare system. And until we do that, we're going to continue to have these issues that I ran into, that our friends have run into. I'm sure that a lot of you out there have run into. And the more doctors we can celebrate that are merging those ways of treating people, I think the better.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, this is why we're having these conversations on podcasts. There's many more, not so many, people speaking up about these topics, namely Dr. Jolene Brighton, who we have had on the podcast, Dr. Sarah Hill, who we're hoping to get on it, who wrote This Is Your Brain on Birth Control. I know she talks a lot about just women's health and women's endocrine health in general. Jill, do you want to talk more about what we noticed from the Washington Post article as well, which is ironic because Jill and I grew up being delivered the Washington Post at our house because we live in the Washington, D.C. area. And I am PO'd at these people. Jill, take it away.
So the Washington Post posted an article called Women Are Getting Off of Birth Control Amid Misinformation Explosion. And what they ended up doing was, first of all, belittling the F out of women and their symptoms, but two, creating this false narrative around why women are getting off of birth control. And I want to just go through a few different quotes from the article. I highly recommend you read it so you're aware of the conversation that's happening. But they're basically saying that all of this misinformation is being spread on social media and on TikTok, and
giving women a false idea around birth control, and therefore women are no longer taking birth control, and it's because of this like conservative Republican right-winged mission, which maybe that mission is out there somewhere, but it has nothing to do with why millions of women are getting off of birth control. If I remember this statistic properly, globally, 60% of women get off birth control within their first year of being on it because of their negative reaction to symptoms. So their claim in this article is that the biggest risks are blood clots and seizures. They will not identify in this article she even says women blame their weight gain on the pill. So immediately you're disqualifying any truth that could be in that statement, right? And she says that there's testimonials on TikTok complaining of depression and anxiety. So are you saying these women are lying? Are you saying that a woman doesn't know her own intuition and her body, and that when she starts a new medication, aka birth control, and all of a sudden she feels emotional feelings that she's never felt before, that she's wrong? Like, it's gaslighting the heck out of women. And we know our bodies. That's all we talk about. Trust your gut. Trust your freaking gut. Because you know your body better than anyone. And so anyway, they brought up the far right multiple times. They said that in recent years, an entire industry has popped up around regulating hormones that experts say is often a cash grab. There's no proven science that the hormone balancing regimes pushed by some social media influencers, such as, and quote, an influencer, work. And they keep calling it this underlying conservative push.
But not only that, they're talking about a monetary push for trying to help women's hormones get back into balance. The biggest monetary scam is the birth control that they're trying to sell. So wouldn't you sit here and think that this is in pushing a certain agenda about the income that they're actually losing from birth control by women getting off of it?
Right.
So they're twisting it into this evil, when really we all know that birth control depletes certain vital nutrients. We can go into that in a second. Jill, keep sharing your thoughts, but it's giving money grab ideas from them.
Well, it says, and I quote, while doctors say hormonal contraception, which includes birth control pills and intrauterine devices, IUDs, is safe and effective, they worry the profession's longstanding lack of transparency about some of the serious but rare side effects has left many patients seeking information from unqualified online communities. Let me just revert back to literally yesterday when I went to the gynecologist. She pushed birth control on me when she saw in my chart that I wasn't on it. I've been off of it, as you know, 4 years because it did make me gain weight. It did give me emotional swings that I quite literally couldn't control. It did not help with my acne or painful periods. I did not want to be on it. I made that choice for myself before TikTok was even created. Thank you so much. Okay. But then my gynecologist yesterday said, are you sure you don't want to be on birth control? And I said, yes, I'm sure. And she goes, is there a reason? And I said, I don't like how it reacts to my body. She goes, well, there's tons out there. You could try them. No, thanks. I don't want to play a chemistry game with my body until I find the right one. I've been on multiple ones. I don't want to. I said something much nicer than that, but to that kind of point, she goes, well, there's the copper IUD and that's non-hormonal. Did you know about that one? I'm like, yes, I'm very positive. I do not want to be on birth control. And then she goes on to say, well, you need to make sure that you use a condom 100% of the time. Now, I thought she was going to say for STD protection or something. She said, because you know, it only takes you not wearing a condom one time to get pregnant. And I sat there and I thought to myself, is this Secret Life of the American Teenager?
Wait.
Like, what kind of bullshit is this? If you take our cycle and you go, what is the max amount of days that you could potentially get pregnant in because sperm can live 72 hours, you can get pregnant 5 days out of your cycle.
Yeah.
So you're lying to me. You're not, and maybe we don't want to call it a lie, but you are not accurately, you're not truthfully being transparent in the way that I, as my doctor, my trusted doctor, I'd expect you to. So it directly correlates to what they're saying of like, the worry is the profession's longstanding lack of transparency. Because instead of saying, hey, let me educate you about your cycle, let's talk about this. These are the days where you're going to be most fertile. This is the time you should really be careful. You know, here's the 9 different ways that you can look into more about your fertility. No, none of that. It was just scare tactics. I'm like, I feel like I'm back at Bishop O'Connell High School where, you know, where our PE teacher is just saying, if you have sex, you will get pregnant and you will have to get married because you cannot be a single mother. It's like, hold on. Like, what are we doing? Yeah,
right. There's no education. It's all shame and fear mongering. And yeah. I think that's the problem. But as you said, there are women out there who are trying to make this massive change in the industry. And I quoted something from a part of a book by Sarah Hill, who Dr. Sarah Hill, who we're trying to have on the podcast. I reached out to her. And it's educating more about what birth control truly is. What are these forms of oral contraceptives? And then also allowing you to be given the information to make that informed decision for yourself that none of us were given when we were put on the birth control when we were 15 years old.
Right. Yeah.
And she says, you quite literally are your hormones. And when you change your hormones, which is what hormonal contraceptives do, you change the version of yourself that your brain creates. And because of this, the pill's reach goes far beyond the small number of targeted effects we take it for. So even knowing that we are our hormones, the pill is changing our hormones, and therefore we get that version of the change, is something we've been never told or taught. And she's not 100% against birth control. None of these people are. If you're on it right now, or you know someone who's on it, or your friend's on it, they're not making the wrong decision. You're not doing something wrong. You're doing something that you think is best for your body at this time, and that is fine. But what we are not told is how pregnancy works in the first place and how you can get pregnant, how the stages of your cycle work, ovulation, follicular, menstruation, etc. And also what times you can get pregnant. Because for so long, all of us were thinking, at least I was, you could get pregnant any time of the day. This is not what was taught in sex ed when we were in middle school, right? So why are we now having to fight for these conversations today? And then you have something like the Washington Post article that comes in and just makes it even worse for women who are just trying to understand their bodies, why they're going on birth control, why they might want to come off of it, why it might be reacting with them poorly.
And part of the reason I don't want to go on it is because of the lack of trust. Like, they've always said that, you know, birth control lowers your risk of cancer. Right? How often have you heard that? I've seen that a ton of times. And
yeah,
I pulled a few posts, one from Natural Nurse Mama on Instagram. And I love her. And she says,
you love her.
I'm sure you were told that birth control lowers risk of cancer, but that's dishonest. Birth control lowers risk of ovarian cancer because it basically shuts it down. Endometrial and colorectal cancer, but it increases breast and cervical cancer. And she said, let's not forget that about 19,710 women will receive a new diagnosis of ovarian cancer compared to each year in the United States, about 264,000 cases of breast cancer are diagnosed in women, which is more common. So like, prevent something that you're least likely to get to increases your chances of something you're already more likely to get. And then Dr. Lee Erin Connolly, who I love, she is a cancer doctor, but she got into the conversation too because so many doctors were just so pissed off because it's like, yeah, we're on social media educating, but we also went through med school. And she put a list together, and we'll share all of this information in the show notes, but she said hormonal birth control is classified as a group 1 carcinogen by the International Agency for Research on Cancer. It's correlated with depression, mood changes, and anxiety, with a PubMed article next to it. Increases the risk of breast and cervical cancer. It increases the risk of blood clotting, heart attack, and stroke. Increases the risk of autoimmunity, alters liver function, right? Washington Post, those are all research articles that she's quoted by a registered MD. So Why didn't you interview her? Why didn't
board
you quote,
certified?
Why
right?
didn't yeah? Why didn't yeah. you quote her in the article? And then she put this awesome graph that we can share. It says, in many parts of the world, hormonally driven cancers such as breast and prostate cancers are the most common. In the United States, breast cancer is the most common cancer. According to the International Agency for Research on Cancer, the number of cancer cases is expected to surpass 35 million by 2050, up from approximately 20 million in 2022. And breast cancer for the United States is the fastest rising one. So anyway, my point in saying all of that is, Washington Post, you not only gaslighted women and their experiences and the way that they feel, but you're also just plain wrong. When you only talk about seizures and blood clots, when there are so many other risks, again, we are not anti-birth control, because I think for a lot of women, that is what is most important to them, is not getting pregnant. You talk about communities that are underserved or not financially thriving. Teen pregnancy shoots way up in those types of communities. Birth control for them can not only save their life and save their health and their future, but like for them, that might be the difference between being able to get out of that neighborhood and not. What about all of the young women and girls that are more at risk to be sexually assaulted and abused? Maybe that is a time where you should have birth control because of the fear and the risks. Like, this is a choice that should be weighed by every individual woman based off of understanding all of the facts and not some misled conversation to benefit big pharma.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And with that, I'll also say birth control is more than pregnancy prevention. It's how we thought we were supposed to regulate our hormones when a lot of us had very painful periods or acne or any other hormonal imbalance. And the truth is, they're just going to throw us a pill instead of helping us understand why our hormones messed up in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. What are the lifestyle, diet factors that are prevalent in this society of the poor standard American diet, the, you know, crazy lifestyle that we all live these days? When I say crazy, I mean, it's more stress. It's more on our phone, less outside, less connecting to nature. So it's helpful to know that if you do have hormonal imbalances, one thing that you could do is get a Dutch test with your practitioner. That really helps you understand what's going on in a deeper level when it comes to hormones. It's also important to know that there are books you can start reading to educate yourself. There's Beyond the Pill by Dr. Jolene Brighton. Is This Normal by Dr. Jolene Brighton, which is another really good book. It's her most new, it's her newest book to date. And another one that I mentioned, This Is Your Brain on Birth Control by Dr. Sarah E. Hill. All of those three resources right there are enough to get you started on your journey of understanding your body, your hormones, your cycle, the stages of your cycle, and more.
Yeah. And again, like, there's two podcast episodes, Vibing Well with Dr. Stacey ND, episode number 32. And that's a podcast on breast cancer if you're interested in that.
It's really good. We'll share all of this on our Instagram stories too, just to, you know, talk more about it. I really love that episode, and I want her on our podcast.
And then again, there's one, Your Brain on Birth Control with Dr. Sarah Hill on the Be Well podcast. So we want to give you those resources because, again, this is not a conversation where we're telling you what you need to do. We're empowering you to understand the reality of your health so you can make the best choice. And that's it.
I haven't listened or watched it, but the documentary, The Business of Birth Control, I think you have to be subscribed to a special place where they only can show it, but apparently that documentary is insane. And Jill, we need to watch it together.
Okay, I'm here for it. I think that really like wraps up the conversation. I feel slightly emotionally exhausted. I feel like I really just ranted.
Jill's out here to fight for us, guys.
You know what? Because
Jill needs to be speaking on these. Whatever. You need to get yourself in front of Congress.
Well, because it was me. That was me. Yeah. I didn't know any better. I fully blindly trusted my doctors, and I made a decision that ended up putting me through years of hormonal hell. And my skin's never been clearer. I don't really suffer from any breast tenderness. I have very minimal PMS symptoms, a place I never thought I would be. And it has nothing to do with being on the birth control pill. So it's like this false narrative that has just been fed to us starting at such a young age. for years and years and years has got to stop. And shame on you, Washington Post. I am literally ashamed that you are in the same city of our birth area. And quite frankly, like, it is everything that is wrong with media today and why TikTok and Instagram are thriving so much. And the Washington Post is not. So take that.
So, like, bye. We hate you.
Professionalism is number one key on this podcast.
Amen. Well, thank you guys for listening to this podcast episode. As we mentioned, we are going to do a couple follow-ups this. Hopefully get on Dr. Sarah E. Hill, Dr. Stacy. She's a naturopathic doctor, to talk more about our hormones, breast cancer prevention, what we should be doing when it comes to oral contraceptives and more. And really provide you guys with more resources. So thank you, Jill, for really catalyzing this conversation with your own personal experience.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you for Yeezy for coming up so we can fight.
Miss BV herself.
And Miss BV herself. Uh-huh. And we will be back next week with a very special guest talking about all things bone broth.
My, how the tables can turn very quickly.
All right. We love you guys.
All right. Bye, Jenny.
Bye.